Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You know, part of prayer is asking God to empower us. We're not only praying for needs, but I think it's important for every single one of us to not only ask God to use us, but to passionately desire that he would use us. To passionately desire, God, set your hand on my life. God, use me so that wherever I go through this day, through this week, through this month, that your hand will rest upon my life, that there will be a weight of grace on the words that I speak. God, use me. Use me in church. Use me in my home. Use me where I go to work. Use me, God. Here's the good news. God wants to work in us and through us. He wants to. But what we see God do in our life depends in a large part on what we do. I mean, there's a sense in which if we won't do anything, God won't do anything. If you and I won't seek it passionately and step out with anticipation and courage and faith, we're going to miss what God would have done. That's one of the things I love about reading the Old Testament. Of course, I love history, but I just like watching how God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's much more confined to the church and the apostles, and that's great, and that's challenging. But what I love about the Old Testament is you find God working in everyday people's lives and using everyday people to accomplish extraordinary things. So I want to share with you a scripture, Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. After Ehud was one of the deliverers of Israel and became a judge. He judged Israel, led Israel. So after he passes off the scene, came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. This is important, and the days of Shamgar were difficult days. The book of Judges starts kind of with this. It says, in those days there was no king, and everybody did as they saw fit. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. So you basically have anarchy. We get an idea of what it was like in Judges chapter 5 when we read this. This is from the Song of Deborah. And so in her song, she says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, and remember Jael, she was the woman who drove a tent peg through the temple of a general that they were fighting. And so they're all kind of contemporaries, Barak and Deborah and Shamgar and Jael. Says, in the days of Shamgar, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. You say, what does that mean? It means everybody was taking the back roads because if you hung out on the main roads, you were going to get robbed, you were going to get killed, you were going to get enslaved. I mean, it was a bad day. Village life in Israel ceased. Ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, talking about Israel, war came to the city gates. In other words, one of the lessons in the book of Judges is when they served God, things went well. When they didn't serve God, things didn't go well. And let me just say for all of us, that's a constant reminder that the way you and I serve God and the devotion with which we serve God brings an attendant blessing. It says war came to the city gates and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. So you have 40,000 soldiers. Nobody has a shield. Nobody has a spear. How many know that's a bad thing? If we said we had an army of 100,000 men and nobody had a gun and nobody had a knife and nobody had a bulletproof vest, how many know that would be a bad thing? That's the day in Israel. So it's a very tough day. So what I want to do is I want to give you three principles that Shamgar teaches us. Because he's a cool dude. It's a great story. Number one, it's not who you are, but whether you are willing to serve. You see, a lot of times people talk themselves out of service. They say, well, you know what? If I had her personality, or if I had his ability, or if I had the friends, they've got so many friends, or if I had their time, if I was at their season in life, if I had their work arrangement, if I had their family arrangement, if I had their creativity, if I had their ability, if I had their opportunity, we have a tendency to look at other people like they've got it made in the shade, and we look at ourselves and talk ourselves out of believing God to do something big, or even believing we have the opportunity for God to do something big. And a lot of times it has to do with we don't feel that we don't have certain things, but it's not who you are, but whether you're willing to serve. Now, we don't know a lot about Shamgar, but here's what we know. After Ehud came, Shamgar, son of Anath. And when you read that, you think, okay, Anath must be his dad. That's who Anath is. But historians tell us that Anath was the goddess of war for the nation Egypt. So she was viewed as the goddess who was the protectorate, or the protectress, I guess you would say, for the pharaoh. That this particular goddess was the personal protectress of Pharaoh. Historians tell us that part of Pharaoh's army was made up of mercenaries, so hired guns. And we get these, they would go to other places and hire these mercenaries. And Shamgar's name is not a Hebrew name. It's got four consonants instead of three consonants. So when they look at that, that would be from up north from a land called the Hittites. So he's not an Israelite. He's not a Hebrew. His dad's name is not Anath. What that's telling us is he's probably a mercenary. He's probably a part of forces that were hired by Pharaoh, and he may himself have been dedicated to be a mercenary to this goddess, to have that as a future. There's nothing about his life up to this point that's been dedicated to the purposes of God. But even though he doesn't have a lineage, he doesn't have an ancestry, he doesn't have relationships, even though he doesn't have any of that, God is going to use this man. That's a powerful thing. Look at it, verse 31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, he too saved Israel. Think of that. God takes a non-Israelite Egyptian mercenary and works through him to save Israel. I mean, that's crazy. You know one of the reasons why God does? Because nobody in Israel would step to the plate. Nobody in Israel would be bold enough. Nobody would be brave enough. Nobody cared enough. Nobody was passionate enough. Nobody believed that God could do something extraordinary through them. So nobody did anything about the need of the day. But here's Shamgar, a mercenary, an outsider, who says, this is a mess. These people need deliverance. And he steps forward. Here's the thing. God is pretty much willing to use anyone who's willing to let him. God is willing to use anyone. The eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. God wants to use anyone. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter if you have credentials or have connections. God will use anyone who wants to be used. Sometimes we have a tendency to just talk ourselves out of it or to feel because we're watching other people and it looks like they have more connections, more opportunity, more creativity, more ability that God's going to use them. I can remember sitting at CBC in a class, and you know, there's some things that you just remember all your life. And I remember it was a Monday morning, and I was in this class, and I was sitting there, and people were coming in, and I had transferred into school, so I didn't really know anybody, and I'm just kind of watching what's going on, and people are coming in, and people are talking about where they've been over the weekend. And so unlike, maybe a secular school where they might talk about the parties they've gone to and all of that, at Bible college, you talk about the services you preached at. You talk about the ministry that you did. And so people are talking about this, and different people are talking about who they know. And, well, I know this person, I know that person. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know anybody. I don't hardly know anybody in the class. And I don't know any preachers that have connections. And I'm from a little town called Brush, home of the Beet Diggers, the Mighty Beet Diggers, I should say. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, I don't know one person. And so, you know, I'm there at school, and the opportunity comes for, you know, we need to find an internship. I'm going to a church. I show up at the church, and the church is you know, they'll take a limited number of interns. I go there and I say, hey, I'd like to be an intern. They're like, well, those slots are all filled up. Well, how about next semester? They're already filled up. And I was like, wow. I said, so I can't serve now, as an intern. But what I did was I just started showing up. So like the next day I showed up, and I was working 45 hours a week and going to school. So it's not like I just had a bunch of time, but I just showed up, and they're like, there's no internship. And I was like, I know. Just, is there something I can help you with? Not really. I said, well, those chairs, they need to be moved because I knew they were moving chairs. And they're like, well, I guess, yeah. So I get in there, I'm moving chairs. And then when I'm done with that, I grab the vacuum. I see it over there, and I just start vacuuming. And they're like, well, we have custodians to do that. I said, I know, I'll help them out. So, you know, and I mean, they can't get rid of me. I mean, I am there, you know, they're going out to get the bus ready, and the bus needs to be cleaned out, and I'm pushing garbage out of the bus, and, you know, then I'm washing the windshield of the bus. I mean, I'm just like, I'm going to make it where they cannot, you know, and I wasn't in the way. It was just everything that needed to be done. I said I was going to do it. And what happened, in a matter of 6 months, they hired me. I didn't need the internship. I got a job. You know, here's the thing. A lot of times, people won't say yes to God because it's not exactly what they can picture themselves doing. How about forget about what you can picture yourself doing? Just picture yourself serving and just say whatever needs to be done. If it's sweeping, if it's vacuuming, if it's helping wherever it is, however it is, I'm just going to do it and watch what God will do with your life. If you're willing to serve God, He will use you. You know, this is why, let me just say this. This is why GrowTrack is so important. If you've not been through GrowTrack, maybe you've gone through one class, but you've not finished it, you need to go through all four, and it will make such a difference in getting you plugged in to the life of the church. The church isn't the only place God can use you, but I can tell you, the church is a place God wants to use you. Well, number two, it's not about what you don't have, but what you do have. Now, what did Shamgar have? Look at it. Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. And he too saved Israel. You know, I know we've got, you know, security. It's no secret to a lot of you. We keep people safe. We've got security strategically placed at different places in the auditorium. I think everybody gets that. Some people down front and with security. What you didn't know is our creativity when it comes to security. I mean, like, some people have certain, you know, things that they can protect us with. Then there's other people like Josh Longnecker. Right. Community care. I mean, he goes into the worst parts of Springfield. Do you know what he carries? Right here. He's got an ox goad. He's keeping us safe. He keeps it right under his seat at all times. You didn't know that, did you? He's got the ox goad to keep us safe because he knows about Shamgar. He identifies with Shamgar, don't you? You do. See? You know it. So here's like an ox goad. What it is it's a stick with a point on it, not a sharp point because it's not an ox gore. It's not something you stick in the animal. It's something you just kind of poke the animal. I mean, when you want them to do something, you just kind of give them a little poke. And then, see, like if I want Raphael, if I want him to move, I just kind of poke him like that and see. That's what you do with that. Only usually you use it on your ox to get him to go the direction you want him to go. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. I mean, all this guy has, he's a mercenary. He knows how to use weapons. He's used to using weapons. He's used to having exactly what he needs, but apparently, for whatever reason, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have what he wished he had. He doesn't have what he knows somebody else has. All he has is a stick with a dull point on the end of it. And this guy kills 600, not 10, not 20. I mean, think of this. Not 50, not 100, not 200, not 300. I mean, if you kill 400 people with this in battle, that's amazing. He 600 people with an ox goad. You know, I mean, too many times we have a tendency to focus on what we don't have. We say, well, what's this? He could have said, you know, man, I'd love to fight. I'd love to serve, but I don't have what I need. If I'm going to serve, I don't, you know, this is not the opportunity I was looking for. If you want me to deliver people, it's going to take more than a stick. I fought over here and I had a sword, and I fought over there and I had an axe, and I fought over there and I had a spear, and on top of that, I always had a shield. So you give me those things, you give me what I need, and I'll serve. No, he says, I've got this, I'm good to go. Are you that committed? Are you willing to say, God, whatever you've given me is enough for you to do exactly what you want to do in and through my life? And God, I believe that you can take my little, that you can take my disadvantage, that you can take what I think I lack, and you can set your grace upon what I have, and you can do something supernatural, something extraordinary, something that will deliver your people. I mean, this is amazing. And this guy is not an Israelite. Heaven help us. Sometimes people outside the kingdom have more confidence in God than people inside the kingdom. He believes God to deliver, and God does. And you know what happens is, if we don't use the goad that God has put in our hand, then the enemy comes along and he goads us. And he says, you know, you don't have, come on, let me tell you, you're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. He is stronger than me, I know that. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not whatever it is. And usually it's, you're not as good as the other person. And the enemy, if you don't use the goad God has given you, the enemy will goad you and will point at you and poke at you. How easy it would have been for Shamgar to say, you know what, I don't have what I need, so I can't do what I want. I don't feel like going into battle with a stick when I know it'd be way better to go with a spear. I don't feel like going into battle with my inability, whatever you view your inability to be. Listen, God is not concerned with what we don't have. He's interested in using us with what we do have. Yeah, that's good. And he's given us exactly what we need. It may not seem much like it's much to you, but here's the thing. When we give what we have to God and God sets his hand on it, then supernatural things happen. And the good news is, then God gets all the glory. And God does things, you know, it's such an interesting thing to watch. It's one of the things I love about James River. You know, people from time to time come in and they want to see around the church and look around and talk to us and, can I get some time with you? And so they sit down with us. And you know what? Here's what I think the general, I've done this enough. I think I've got it figured out. They come in and they look at the church and they're like, wow. And then they sit with Debbie and I for about a half hour and they're like, how? You know, I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Because I think they walk away saying they're pretty average people. And you know what? God delights in taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things. And he wants to do that in your life. And when he does it, the good news is he gets the glory. Well, one more thing I want to point out. It's not about being known, but what will you be known for? It's not about being known, but what will you be known for? Shamgar's life is summed up in one verse. Look at it. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. That's really all we know about him. But I love that last sentence. He too saved Israel. He too saved God's people. So if we never know anything else about him, we know this. He saved God's people. He saved God's people. Here's what's interesting. God, in telling us about him, looks past his shortcomings, looks past his lineage, his background, his mistakes. What does God want us to know about Shamgar? He wants us to know about his service. That's what he wants us to know. This is a guy who saved God's people. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Let me close by asking you this. If your life was summed up in one sentence, what would it say? If the Lord tarries for another couple centuries, and there's a one-sentence statement about your life, what's it going to say? What are people going to know about you? What will you be known for? Would they know that you served God with what you had? Jody was a person who used everything she had to honor God. Chris was a person who didn't leave anything behind. He used all of his life, all of his talent, all of his time. He took what God had given him and he used it. Would they know God used you to save people because you were willing to serve? So that's what it is. He saved God's people. We would put it this way. God used them to save people. God set his hand upon them. People got saved. God set his hand on her. People got saved. God used them because they were willing to serve. Heavenly Father, tonight I just pray that you would cultivate in our hearts this desire to not just present ourselves as I'm available, but to passionately ask you to do something amazing through us. There's a big difference. I pray, God, that you would, in every heart, give us a desire to see you do more in us than we could imagine. God, put a passion in us to serve. Whether it appears there's an opening or not, to say, I'm here to serve. Put a passion in us to see people saved, to be used by you, that your people might be saved. God, I just ask you to do that tonight. Just while heads are bowed for just a moment. You know, here's the thing. I think sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm willing. If God wants to use me, I'm willing. I think there's a big difference between I'm willing and God, I'm passionate about being used. I want to. Big difference between I guess I will, or I'm willing, and I want to. If you want to see God's hand supernaturally on you, then I think there's something that has to take place in your not only presenting yourself to God, but with passion praying and asking God, God, use me. God, I want the supernatural on my life. I want you to use me supernaturally to see people saved. I want you to use me supernaturally to deliver people. I want you, God, I don't have a lot. I just have a wooden stick. But God, in your hands, that's enough to work a miraculous deliverance. And God, so that's what I want. I want supernatural power on my life. I want you to use me supernaturally that people's lives will be transformed.